This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesarino back to cover Special Forces World's Toughest Test. But I just got back from Disney, so maybe that could be the world's toughest test. We'll see, as we are joined here by a woman who will never VW. It's Jenny Autumn. Jenny, how are you?
Rob, I'm great. Even though it's like only been a week since we podcasted anyway, like we kept it on schedule. Yep. I missed you.
I missed you too. It feels like that.
It feels like it's been longer.
Yeah, I may have been gone for just a week, but it feels like that I lived a year of my life in the time since we last got together to talk about the world's toughest test. Because I've been through the world's toughest test.
You have. And like, honestly,
this man, it will take drive 9 hours in the car with his family and not lose his mind. It will be the ultimate test to see if the recruit has what it takes to be in the Special Forces.
How many pee breaks can this man endure? Will he make it out alive? Will he crash the car out of anger?
In this next test, the recruit will have to get food for his family, but people will only say what they don't want and not what they do want.
It's a process of elimination for only the toughest.
Honestly, though, Rob, like, speaking of Disney, like, I feel like if they wanted to do a good promo for this episode, like, they could have that guy being like, from the people that brought you Disney on Ice, it's Muppets on Fire.
Yeah.
Because this episode got real.
Got real. We lit people on fire.
Literally.
We lost two people. Somehow
not death.
This is seemingly nothing to do with actually being on fire. That was not.
Honestly, the fire seemed like, in hindsight, like the easiest part of the episode.
Yeah, this is not a big deal. NBD. We got a lot to talk about here as we get through Special Forces World's Toughest Test. Jenny, how are you?
I'm good. Yeah, things are fine.
Good.
It's February.
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like January is a slog. So I think I'm feeling refreshed now that we're moving into February. So.
Okay. Yeah. One month down here in 2023 as we have now moved into February. One step closer to the autumn.
Yes, exactly. I spend the entire year just waiting for the autumn. So.
Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about some of our headlines at this hour. First, I guess big story is we lost two people. Let's talk about it separately. We lost the Mooch tonight, who had really gotten a lot of airtime in the last couple of weeks. Kind of a miracle that he made it this far. Don't really know what his breaking point was. Other than when he's like, look, I'm old. What do you want from me?
We talked about this last week. This man has been waiting for an excuse to leave. And I think that he just, you know, I think he knew that he had tested himself more than he expected. So he was already kind of like satisfied. But I think with each day, he's like, oh, maybe I can do it a little bit longer. Or like at this point, like, and no one had left for a few days. So it's like, no one wants to break the seal again. And so it's like, as soon as it seems like somebody else might leave, so your Danny Amendola or your Mike Piazza, like his boys, as soon as they're seeming like they might take off, like that's when Mooch is like, oh, we're going to go together. Like this man has been looking for an opportunity to leave. And then in this episode, it became very clear that like some of these people are in it for the long haul. And Mooch simply was not.
Yeah.
So he's like, I gotta go.
Really, all of the athletes and
Bachelorette Hannah Brown.
Former Bachelorette.
Mm-hmm.
Former Bachelorette.
Which makes it sound like she's like married now. Like.
Yeah. Okay. So the Mooch is out. No more Mooch. And
but he does both of the challenges. Like, let's give him his flowers, because Mike Piazza says, like, do not let anyone say anything negative about this whole thing. Mm-hmm. They pumped him up. And I will say, while he did quit in this episode, he got through the two challenges. I didn't do the best, but mm-hmm. he still did them.
Yeah.
So I mean, he failed
the first challenge.
Yes. But a lot of them did. So
fail.
Like, it was epic fails all around. Five mm-hmm. of eight of them fail. But I think that, you know, he made it over the hump, and he did all of the challenges of the day, which looked like they sucked.
Yeah.
So at least he waited until the end of the day, and he was like, you know what? I just don't want to sleep here another night.
Yeah.
You think it was like maybe the sleeping situation is just so crappy?
No, you know what I think happened? So I think that the Mooch, you know, he's kind of been looking for a way out. You know, he's like, maybe I can get through it. But then everybody like forgot their watches at the thing. He's like, yeah, I think that the fit is going to hit the Shan in a minute.
Yeah.
I'm out of here.
I was thinking about this earlier too, because I was like, so what? Yeah, what was it? Like, why then? Because nothing was going on. They came back and they were just complaining about their like pain. And I think he's like, okay, like five people forgot their watches. Like, we are going to get the S beaten out of us.
This is
going
to go bad. Yeah.
And he's like, I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm already kind of counting the minutes till I can leave anyway. Might as well just do it now and get out.
Yeah. So the Mooch ultimately lasts five days or 6 days here?
I believe 6 days.
Okay. Did the Mooch last longer here, Jenny, than he did on Celebrity Big Brother 2?
Oh, that is a good question. I honestly think he made it like 8 days on Celebrity Big Brother.
Let's see. Celebrity Big Brother, the Mooch departs in a very twisty fashion. Okay. Let's ask Sam Moore if he could figure that out while we're going along here on the podcast. So the Mooch ultimately goes out. So the Mooch, that his thing is, he's here for a good time, not for a long time. When the Mooch
is
around.
Day six.
Was he a twist?
Was he
a twist on Special Forces?
So this is an article from January 25th, 2019.
Mm-hmm.
He, according to the Hollywood Reporter, Scaramucci left on day six of the competition, beating his record for the 11 days he spent as White House.
Oh, okay. Well, but then
how does that beat the record?
Well, I guess for shortest time. And then if you take his 6 days from Celebrity Big Brother and his 6 days from Special Forces World Stuff, he now has done more days on reality shows
television
than he did as White House press secretary.
So maybe he's superstitious and he's like, 6 days.
Six.
I left the Celebrity Big Brother house on day six. I can't make it to day seven or else I will mess things up.
Yeah. So, you know, I did not know this until recently. But, you know, I listened to a podcast called Plain English. It's one of the Ringer podcasts, and the host of it, Derek Thompson, does a really good job explaining a lot of different things. And he was talking about, he had a guest on who was sort of explaining the whole FTX situation, which was like a crypto exchange, which ended up kind of being a Ponzi scheme, or totally being a Ponzi scheme. But it ended up with the Mooch being like a key player in all of this, where the Mooch became friends with the person who, if you have heard of Sam Bankman-Fried, SBF,
yep.
Mooch became friends with him because the Mooch is a very friendly guy.
A very social, friendly guy. We've seen it on this show.
Yeah. And so that the Mooch runs a hedge fund, which is called SkyBridge, and the Mooch sold 30% of his hedge fund, SkyBridge, to FTX, which is the exchange that was run by Sam Bankman-Fried. And Sam Bankman-Fried requested that the Mooch put $10 million into the tokens that they had, which was sort of like the, like it ended up being like the worthless money that they were stealing from people. And so then
like NFTs.
Yeah. And then Scaramucci then took SBF to go to the Middle East, I guess. And the Mooch has like a lot of connections in the Middle East, which you'd think that maybe that's why he was doing special forces. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Because he's used
like,
to the desert.
I can do the Jordanian
no
desert.
Problem.
I'm there all the time.
Yeah. And so while the Mooch took SBF on a tour of the Middle East, SBF like really started doing a lot of like crap talking about one of his rivals in the Bitcoin industry, a guy that is named, I believe it's pronounced Chengpeng Zhao, which they call him CZ, and SBF, a lot of acronyms. SBF was really like crap talking CZ to everybody.
Keep it CZ.
I think to MBS. He ended up then, like, it got back to CZ. And then basically, like, he, like, triggered the series of events that basically showed everybody that FTX was a scam.
Wow.
But
Petty
it was,
King, we love
it. Yeah, but the Mooch was really the person that sort of, like, connected, like, all these people to set off these dominoes.
So do you think that the Mooch was in on it all along?
No,
or do
no.
you think that it was just an honest mistake?
I think that the Mooch... Like,
he sees the best in people, I think.
He sees the best in people. Yeah.
He wants to believe.
I think the Mooch wants to believe. Like, the Mooch says he got taken advantage of. SBF was his friend. And so I think that the Mooch got hustled more so than he was in on the hustle.
Well, I do see a YouTube video that says SBF blames everyone but himself. I don't have the 14 minutes and 1 second to watch that at this time. Mm-hmm. Do you think that Anthony Scaramucci is one of the people he blames in this video?
I don't know if he blames the Mooch, but they should send SBF to go to Special Forces.
Oh, my God.
Also,
Can you imagine?
He already has the S and the F in his name.
Yeah.
Fail, right you there. Muppet.
Yeah. Oh my God, Billy would eat him up and spit him out mm-hmm. every single day. Like,
yeah.
can you imagine, Remy being like, oh, you want to go back
to have
your,
to pay the man.
Your little insider trading and your
FTT
your little
tokens.
Pictures of monkeys and like,
yeah. So, yeah, the Mooch was so I don't know what the order of operations was. I have to think that the Mooch filmed Special Forces World's Toughest Test before this all happened with SBF and the Mooch.
I need to find out because he clearly says that he's 58 and a half, which I love that a 58 year old is like still doing like 58 and a half mm-hmm. To count their birthdays. It's like, give us your birth in like your age in months at this point. Like, this is great. Mm-hmm. But I would love to figure out when this was filmed approximately based on like the half point of Mooch's birthday.
Okay.
I just pulled up his same birthday as dear friend Colin Latchford.
Oh.
Not the same year, but
yes.
January 6th.
Oh boy.
Great day.
What a day. The day Joe
very
Millionaire premiered.
Day.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's what we all know.
Famously.
It for is the Joe Millionaire.
Yeah.
Okay. So the half point of January is what, July? So this was in the summer, probably?
I don't know. But in this article where he went to the Middle East with SBF, that took place in September, he says in the article that he was interviewed for Bloomberg, and he's not David. He said about how SBF wanted to buy 30% of SkyBridge. He said it said Scaramucci was hesitant. He said, "I'm 58 years old. It's been my life's work."
Oh, so it has to be somewhere between because he in this very episode that we are talking about tonight, he says, "I am 58 and a half years old." So this.
Do you think Scaramucci had some sort of, maybe do you think he suffered some sort of like trauma at Special Forces that made him make questionable decisions? Or do you think that maybe like he took the lesson away from here of like, hey, don't be afraid, just do it? Or do you think that maybe if he would have stayed, he wouldn't have gotten scammed by SBF?
Or do you think that he's like, this man is going to jail. What kind of torture can I put myself through that isn't jail? And he's just trying to like, you know, empathize perhaps. I don't know. The timeline is a little confusing. We don't have the exact dates of this filming.
Yeah. If anybody knows out there, that would be, that'd be good to know. So that we can find out because I mean, this is like a bit like big news, the whole SBF thing. And Mooch was involved in that. I just wonder, is there anything that happened from this that ended up being part of, this whole saga?
Yeah. There's gotta be something there. There's a story there for sure. Mm-hmm. We need the Scaramucci Special Forces World's Toughest Test deep dive.
Not Sam Bankman-Fried. Sam Moore. See if we can get an interview with the Mooch. We can go over all this stuff.
What a get that would be.
Is the Mooch sitting down for interviews about this?
He seems like he's down to chat. He's a chatty guy.
He's a talker. I think he'd win us over.
He's literally like they've complained about how much he talks.
Yeah,
I think it's funny though that like so the hedge fund is called SkyBridge.
Yes.
SkyBridge
yes.
Capital. Don't you feel like the challenge, the first task they did tonight was
kind
like
of a SkyBridge? Yeah, you know, for me, this one hits close to home because the SkyBridge. That's basically what I do.
That's what I do.
I'm 58 years old. I know SkyBridge. Have I seen one? Yeah.
I've been on sky bridges like my entire life.
And you know, I run a hedge fund and I'm hedging all the time here. I'm hedging this whole experience.
And honestly, I'm looking for a hedge to hide in because this is terrifying and I don't want to do it.
Okay. So the Mooch basically is like, yeah, you know, my back is barking. I'm out of here. Nobody really tries to convince him to stay.
Yeah. I mean, I'm guessing that like, you know, they saw the same things that we've been seeing where it's like any mention of someone leaving, he's like, oh, you're leaving. Can I come with you? Mm-hmm. So it's like, this isn't the boy cried wolf. Like it's the time has come. He's going to leave. And you know, like these people have already decided they're staying. Like Danny Amendola has his whole thing at the beginning of the episode where it's like, he's in it for the long haul. So it's like, I'm not convincing this man of anything. He'd been looking for an excuse to leave with someone. No one was leaving. He'd finally like made the claim that he was going to leave on his own. They're like, okay, this is the thing that he's been holding off on doing is he clearly didn't want to do this for a while. Like, I gotta go. So he's finally saying it. So it's like, what are you going to do? Try and stop him?
Yeah, you can't stop him. I mean, he goes right up to, he's like, okay, Kenya Moore. Then this is ironic because then she's going to end up being also walking away. But she brings, okay, staff, number 6 needs to see you. And then he's like, what do you want? He's like, you know what? I got to be honest with myself. I just, you know, I did the best I could. He's like, I'm 58 years old.
58 and a half years old. And then Billy goes, I'm 57. And it's like, Billy, my guy, this has been your entire life is doing this shit. Like, you know, like, that's not like, don't try and tell Scaramucci who's like 5 foot and, you know, like has never done anything like this, is not a professional athlete. He's like, yeah, well, I'm 57. It's like, yeah, but you are literally a special forces agent. You've been doing this kind of training your entire life, Billy. Like, come on.
Anthony Scaramucci is about to get one-upped by Billy Billingham by telling him that he's 58 years old.
Fail! Like, that's all.
You're not as strong as me. Did you notice Mooch's sunglasses when he was quitting?
No.
Oh my God, they were incredible. They were just like, I don't know. They were just like 80s like racing sunglasses. Like, I'd never seen them. I was like, where did the sunglasses come from?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he put them on just for the purpose of like quitting. So he like looks really cool.
Looks cool. Jenny, what I love about the show is that when somebody wants to quit, like, they don't be like, no, Mooch, don't go. Like, that he's like, yeah,
like, you know, okay.
I've had enough. I've seen it. And they're like, all right, bye. I think somebody was like, hey, bye, Mooch. Like, but nobody's like, there's no hugs. It's very little fanfare.
I feel like some of the exits, there was like a little bit more, but like, clearly he'd been going on about this for days. And so, but also like the staff, like when they decide that, like, they're like, okay, well, I'm not going to try and convince you. Like, give me your freaking armband. Mm-hmm. Get the hell out of here. Like, I got to go torture some other people.
And I like that because I think it would be disingenuous if the whole thing is about like trying to make them quit. And then if they do quit, you know, when I was in the fraternity back in the day, you know, that it, the whole thing was like, you know, it was supposed to be hard for these pledges. But then if they ever wanted to quit, everybody would be like, no, don't quit.
Please don't. Stay.
We need you. Come on. You can do this.
But,
so then they sort of like, no, they have the upper hand. Let them go.
I just think that it's very interesting, like how these people are like verbally abusing these celebrities like on the daily, and then they play therapist, and then they're like, tell me about your childhood, and like, it's okay to cry. Like, I'm like, what twisted like trauma bond thing are you doing here where you are like screaming at these people, insulting them, like literally putting them through mental like anguish, but then like in certain situations you're like, I'm proud of you, you did good. I'm I just feel like this is like creating a complex, and I just,
Jenny, war is
I
hell.
Just feel literally, but the one thing that I think is really funny, and it's happened so much in this episode, is Foxy is like the person they go to have like really close up, like, you have you noticed his like little confessionals that they have like in like montaged in between like actual scenes of the show where he's like, the physical part will only get you so far, like it's the mental strength that'll really take you all the way. And like, then he just says like a different version of that same sentiment like 5 times in the episode. Like, this man is obsessed with the concept of mental strength.
Yeah, you gotta be mentally tough.
There's like 6 different times in this episode where we cut to Foxy being like inches away from the camera. I don't want to do it right now because my camera has issues with autofocus and I will ruin it.
Yeah, okay.
But like, he's like, you can see up his nose and he's like, you know, if you're physically fit, that's nothing. The robustness of your mental is what will carry you through.
Oh my God.
Like, and that is the point. That is, he's saying it constantly.
Mm-hmm.
That is his only point that he's making here.
Yeah. Do you think that Foxy just got cast for the show because his name is Foxy?
I mean, all of these men have fake names, right? So, I don't know. I don't, like, they all
kind of
have,
the
like,
good
a thing.
Cop. He's never really yelling at them.
I've never heard him really yelling. And he's kind of the guy to be there to give us, like, the context
like the
for
counselor.
Why they're doing things. Like, he's kind of, like, trying to explain to the audience, like, this is the reason we're doing this. But then they have like the narrator who is like a faceless person. It's like very David Attenborough. Like, we don't know who this man is. He's also British. But it's not Foxy. And it's like, it could be Foxy. Like, why just no not have him as well?
No one knows my identity.
Yeah.
I could it's be not Foxy. Billy.
It's not Foxy. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know who it is, but I want to know his story.
You'll never know, Jenny.
The recruits are trying to learn
the
too
recruits
much.
Will try to learn the story of the narrator, but they can't.
The narrator decides what goes on here, and they must comply. That is the first rule.
Yeah. That's how it goes when you are like, you get brought in for like questioning. You don't know anything.
Yeah. When they bring them in for questioning, I feel like it's like a child at like a birthday party doing pin the tail on the donkey. Like,
yeah. Cause they spin them around.
Cause they're like moving. They're first of all, again, still don't understand why they're not allowed to see coming into the room. Don't understand this. Mm-hmm. I don't even think that this is like a real military training thing. I don't. There are plenty of people that know more than me. Literally mm-hmm. anyone knows more about this than me. But I just don't think that this is part of it. But again, maybe I'm wrong. Yeah. I just don't understand the logic.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like,
I don't know if this is a thing. And maybe because we have a lot of people who are veterans who listen to the podcast and let us know. If I had to guess,
if this is a thing,
I wonder maybe if like the production base camp is also in the same room and they have to like walk them through a room with all the production people.
Like, yeah. Someone eating a pizza.
Yeah, like all of like the monitors and every like the director yeah. and everything. It's like maybe it's just like that they don't want them to see like the whole like base of operations.
The monitors where they're pulling up like TMZ articles.
Right.
Like
right.
all of the celebrities.
If I had to guess.
I don't know.
Maybe that's
like
what
they
it is.
bring them into the room and like it's just so funny like watching them try to like posture them where they need to sit and sit them down, and like they're just like bobbling around like a child about to pin the tail on the donkey.
Yeah.
I was like, this is so like strange to me.
Yeah.
Sam,
when we interviewed the Mooch, remind
it.
Me to ask about that.
Yeah, we need to know about that.
Yeah. Has Anthony Scaramucci, is he talked about anything on Twitter about this?
I think he said something about the fire.
Hmm. Yeah.
I have been fired before,
Hey-o.
But never like this.
Look, I'm 58 years old. I've been fired before. What are you going to do?
Yeah. And it's a photo of him literally on fire.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Wow.
So, yeah, I think that's Scaramucci.
That's good. That's a good tweet. I've been fired before, but never like this. Like, because that's like what he's known for. Like, mm-hmm. that's a good tweet.
Yeah. So Scaramucci, I mean, he looks like he does some podcasts. Yeah.
Okay.
So
does he have like a contact?
I think he's a Mets fan also. So maybe.
Okay.
Maybe let's see. Maybe we can get Scaramucci on the podcast.
That'd be so fun.
Yeah. Okay. We'll see what's going on. Okay.
1 million followers?
Yeah. We got to work on that.
Oh my God.
Big deal.
That'd be a huge get.
Yeah. Let's talk about the other person who went home in this episode. And that was Kenya Moore. And Kenya, I was really surprised. Kenya Moore had been just like rock solid, cool under pressure. Nothing rattled her. And then all of a sudden, her knee ended up going bad.
Yeah, I really felt blindsided by this because like I was like becoming like such a like Kenya stan. Because I was like, this woman is a badass. Basically a badass. And I just thought nothing could break her. And apparently this was like a knee, like a previous knee injury. Like it was like, so I think it didn't come out of nowhere, but whatever they've been doing mm-hmm. has exacerbated like a previous problem, which makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But he just kind of had like out of nowhere. It's like, there's just like, all of a sudden they just threw in a scene where they're like, you know, her and Carly are talking about like, hey, are you achy? And she's like, yeah, I got a knee really bothering me. This is like a known problem. I was like, this came out of nowhere.
And I feel like that the show, like, could we try a brace? Could we do something? Could we try to learn?
Yeah, I am a sensitive baby little back bitch, but I watch the way that they treat people when they are in pain and suffering or going through something, and they're like, keep going, like, and I'm like, she is injured, like,
yeah,
you already know that this woman is like a warrior. Like, you have seen the things that she is capable of already. She's not trying to make up some sort of like, she is not exaggerating her pain or whatever to get out of anything. We already know that she shows up and does it. So it's like, if you see that she's struggling in pain, maybe you would think like, oh, she's seriously hurt. She's seriously struggling. Mm-hmm. But they're like yelling at her during all of these things. And I'm like, yeah, like, I don't know. I just feel like there's no, I don't know. I just think obviously the physical stuff becomes a problem. But when they're constantly telling you like, oh, it's about the mental toughness. Like when Foxy is 2 inches from your face being like, the physical part will only get you so far. Well, I think that the whole story of Kenya Moore through this show is that she is mentally tough and that she will do things that are terrifying to her because she has a mind over matter type of demeanor. And so the fact that it's like, okay, well, you've been saying this whole episode, but then as soon as this woman's body starts breaking down, they're like, well, I guess you have to quit. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just like
she
frustrating.
She seemed willing to go through it. I mean, she woke up on, it seemed like on day five, she had the bad knee. She's having a lot of trouble walking around. I like that Dwight Howard told her to keep moving. He said, motion is lotion. Yeah. I hadn't heard that before.
I know I'd never heard that before too, but like, it makes sense. It's like, mm-hmm. you get stiff if you don't move the joints.
Yeah. Yeah.
You gotta keep the joints moist.
So
motion is lotion.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a lot there. And So Kenya Moore, she's walking around and, you know, she's trying to get through it. And the thing is, she does all the tasks. She's complete every single task that's there. I mean, I think that almost there might have been one that she ended up having a fail on. But overall, she basically has done just about everything that's been asked of her. And then it's like the punishment that she ends up not being able to do.
And I want to know, I mean, I guess I could go back and find this out, but like, was she one of the people that forgot their watch? Because imagine like what a piss off that is. Like, she might have lasted another day.
I think they left a lot of watches there.
A lot of watches were left behind, which caused this punishment. But it's like, she had an injured knee and she was one of only three people that passed the Skybridge test. Mm-hmm. And which I really think would rely on knee strength, because you were literally balancing on your feet on these poles in the air. She did that, passed it. One of the only people. I thought she was going to quit before the fire. She pulled it together, did it. And it's like she was struggling on the monkey bars or like whatever, the pull-up bars part of the... what do they call this? The assault. What is it?
Like assault.
It's the name of the it's the assault course. This is what they call the punishment that they give them. Like those different things that they have to do on the, like on the camp or whatever. It's called the assault course. Mm-hmm. And so she was struggling with the monkey bars, and Dwight Howard, being the wonderful man he is, was trying to help. And then they're yelling, oh, stop all that moaning. And then, and so because she couldn't do that, they make her bear crawl and said, okay, you can't do that, you're gonna bear crawl. Well, don't you think that's gonna be even worse on her freaking knee? Like, what is this? It's like, I feel like they were trying to force her to quit at this point.
Yeah.
Honestly, tinfoil hat time. Kenya Moore was pushed.
I just don't understand why they pushed them so hard to leave the show. You're running out of people. You have six people left in four episodes to go.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
And you've spent this entire time.
Is there Redemption Island? Is somebody coming back?
I hope so.
Are we getting more people?
I can't wait to see Dr. Drew come out, like rip his shirt off and be mm-hmm. like, I'm here to play, bitches.
I'm back.
yeah, back, bitches. Mm-hmm. That would be incredible. But yeah, like they spend all this time preaching about the mental toughness, and Kenya Moore is like the perfect example of what they're asking for. Like, is afraid of things, does not show it. Like, you know, heart of a lion, just does it. And yeah. I felt like they kind of did her dirty.
Yeah.
That's just how I feel.
The only time that she cracked the whole time was when Beverly Mitchell got into it with her, right?
Yeah. And like, even then, I think she held it together. Like, Beverly Mitchell was a basket case the entire time. Mm-hmm. Like, Kenya was just like, don't try and paint me as a villain. And then that was basically the extent of it. Mm-hmm. So it is disappointing because I really thought that she was going to make it to the end. And it just sucks to see her go out because of a knee.
Yeah. And it was a very unceremonious goodbye for her too. They were like, okay, you're going to VW.
Yeah.
Give me the armband. You're gone. And then she's just gone. Like, she's just gone.
Did she even get hugs?
I had to go back and watch it a second time. I'm like, wait, she's gone? Kenya Moore's out?
A lot of the exits have been like that. Like, I remember the first episode, I wasn't even really sure that Montel Jordan left because I was like, it's so unceremonious. Like you said, like, it's just all of a sudden it's like, okay.
And
like,
every other reality show for 23 years, somebody goes out, it's like they died. It's like, you know, sad music, hugs, people are crying. Yeah. This is the only show. It's like, okay, give me your armband. Okay, we'll never see you again.
Yeah, because they're teaching mental toughness.
And then they were six.
There's no room for emotions on the course.
I guess that happens. People just, you have friends and then they just quit the special forces.
Yeah, or die, which is like super messed up.
That's nature's fail.
Catastrophic fail. Yeah. If you die, that's nature's way of saying you have failed.
Yeah.
That is what they said.
They said that in the first episode.
that's how we started this. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's like confusing because they're like, you guys have to you know, rely on each other and you're here for your whole team, but also we're not your friends. Yeah. You're not friends. You're not family.
I guess if you're like training to be in the special forces and then you like can't do the thing and you have to leave the special forces, I guess they don't let you like do like hugs and goodbyes for everybody. They just like, get the hell out of here. You don't have to be here anymore. Yeah.
I think they should do. Clearly these people have grown close. Mm-hmm. Like Danny Amendola was ready to leave. He was like over it. And then like, he comes back and he's like, I'm doing this because I love you guys.
Well, Danny Amendola is like the one person that I feel like that they did kind of like nurse back to health. Like he was ready to quit in the last episode. And then in this episode, like they brought him in and like gave him like a pep talk.
That's why this whole thing is like whiplash to me, because like they're screaming at these people and like provoking them. And then like they bring them in and they're like, gentle talk time. And then they're like, and what does this date back to? And it's like, sir, can I please see your, your PhD in psychology? Like, can I get some, do you have an MSW at least? Like, what is this? I did write down one of my favorite quotes was when they brought Danny into the room and Remy said, I know you from sports.
Famously just, from sports.
I know you from sports.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
Not from football. Just I know you from sports.
Yeah.
Like it's a television show.
So Danny Amendola, we saw last week, it looked like he was about to quit. And then they basically, talked about what was bothering you, Danny. And then he basically says that he feels like he's always overlooked and he is going to work on handling his frustration.
Yeah. So he tells, we got this story before, but basically the part of the reason he's doing this is like, if he didn't get a full scholarship, he would have join the army. And then I guess he didn't get drafted. He was overlooked. He has always been the underdog. So he clearly has like a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. So that how he processes his frustration is a problem. So he gets like emotional. He's crying. He's like, I've had the best life. Like I've lived my dream. Like he's had, you know, he's acknowledging like how good his life has been. And like, this is when Billy like softens a little bit and he's like, you're an emotional guy. Like cry. That's There's okay. nothing wrong with that.
That's
and okay. then, but then he's like, your weak point is how you handle your frustration. And like, honestly, this is like one of the first times that I have agreed with Billy.
Oh,
I don't agree with much of his tactics. He is terrifying. I, like Hannah Brown, do not like men yelling.
Mm.
And he, that's all he do. You know, like Billy knows no other way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like Billy be yelling and that's all there is to it. But
Billy yelling
the point he makes here is good where it's like, you know, listen, not like not all emotions are bad. It's okay to cry. Like clearly you have like emotions, let it out. But the specific emotion of frustration and how you express that and handle that one is where you need to like what you need to work on. And it's like, he's not wrong. Cause he did kind of get angry when he got frustrated and he kind of like, you know, got, but which I also understand because this man is shouting at you and berating you. So like, I don't know, but I did think that Billy was like kind of getting to something there. And it seemed like Danny understood it. And that is probably the only time I'm going to compliment and agree with Billy's tactics because I think he's so scary and mean.
He is, for sure.
Yeah.
But it works. It works for Danny.
Yeah, he goes back and he's like, okay, like now the outlook is like how he's going to deal with life when he gets frustrated. And like, it's like he's already figured out the message of it. It's like a light bulb went off and he comes back and he's like, you know, I love you guys and you guys are the only reason I'm staying. And like, I don't know. It brought him back.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I just like clearly this is having an effect on people. And like later in the episode, Danny's like, this thing is like therapy. It's like, I just don't, it doesn't have to be, therapy doesn't have to be like this, right? It
doesn't have to be. I think there's lots of different types.
There's different kinds of therapy that isn't shouting.
That isn't,
and
yeah.
Physical trauma.
Right. And if you're in the need for therapy, I mean, maybe you could just get therapy. You don't have to go into the special forces to get the therapy that you need.
Yeah, I guess.
You should go to the special forces if you want to be in the special forces.
Right. I think that is like if you truly are like want that specific training for the purpose of like, I want to know what it's like to be in the special forces and train to be one of the best and on the front lines of, you know, war. Sure. If you are looking for self-growth and like to like work on some demons, I just don't know that needs to be what you do.
Yeah.
But again, I don't know if it works for these people. That's fine. Clearly, this is weeding out the mentally weak, as Foxy would tell us 300 times in an episode.
So, Jenny, tell me with Danny Amendola, is he locked in? Is there any chance he's leaving now the rest of the way?
No, he's in, baby. Like, I think, you know, he got his head right. And like what I've found with the DS, they pick on someone each episode. You know what I mean? Like they find someone, sometimes it's two people, they're running out of people. And like that's the person that they're gonna push especially hard that episode. Last week it was Danny. This week it was Hannah. And so I think like, you know, earlier in the season, it was Dwight. And then like, once they have like the little meeting with them in the interrogation room or whatever it is, where they have tactical, whatever
questioning. Yes.
Like what does that even mean? I think once they have that and they have their little therapy session, and they send them on their way, they're like, okay, they've learned their lesson. And then it's on to the next person. They're like, this person's been doing a little too well. Like, yeah, let's bully them. And I really truly think that that's what has happened. And I think that now that they've had this big blow up with Danny, they've had this like conversation, they figured out what his weakness is and he knows what he needs to work on. They're going to leave him alone the rest of the time, unless they run out of people. What are they going to do in the last couple episodes if we're down to Danny and Gus and Carly?
Yeah.
They've got to bully Carly next, right? Like, she hasn't been bullied yet.
I mean, Carly, they're down to six people. She still does not get any airtime.
I know.
They showed her a little bit when she failed in the first challenge. But let me ask you. So if Danny's staying, there's six people left. Yeah. Okay. The people that are left, it is Danny, Mike Piazza.
Mm-hmm.
Gus.
Yeah.
There is Dwight Howard.
Yeah.
There is Carly and there is Hannah Brown. Those are Hannah our Brown. Six people yes. that are left. Who do you think mm-hmm. is the most likely to potentially VW?
I think maybe Mike Piazza.
I think that might be Mike Piazza as well.
He's been complaining about his body, like even more than Mooch was at points.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where like there were points like where you couldn't see who was talking. And I was like, if it was like a complaint about their body and it was like a man, I was like, is that Mike or is it Mooch? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
So he's been concerned, like mentally, again, he's there.
He wants to be there the most.
Definitely. He does not want to quit, but he is also the most concerned about whether his body can handle it. So that is one of my concerns. And then I guess like the other easy pick is like Hannah being the only non-athlete left.
Sure. But I feel like that she has been really tough and I feel like they've highlighted her a lot. I'd be surprised if she walked away. Dwight
Howard, I don't think she will.
To me, Jenny, is the only other person that is like that. Again, I don't think that it's like that he can't do it, but I do think he is the person that's like, what am I doing here?
What am I doing this
what
for?
What do I need this for?
Yeah. I will say, like, when they did the assault course, wonderful name again, he was bringing up the rear at that. He was trying to help Kenya before they berated her into leaving. But at the end, like, they finished it by, like, seconds, and it was Dwight that was, like, struggling to make it at the end, which is, like, kind of, like, interesting because it's, like, this man is literally an NBA, like, former NBA star. But he might just be getting to the point where he's like, all right, I've done enough here. Yeah. I don't know. What am I doing this for? But again, it's like you get past a few, like the worst few days at the beginning, I guess. And then it's like, I think that a lot of them just have the mindset, like, I just want to finish it now because, you know, it's the only thing that could really take them out is like injuries.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I really think that Mooch would have left a lot earlier if someone
it would
felt
have been
like
a minute since somebody else quit.
Yeah. If Mike Piazza or Danny Amendola, if like another man that he respected and felt a kinship with had been leaving, he would have gone much earlier.
Yeah. Well, if it was the Purple Kelly where it was like somebody who is like a bigger, like louder person, like was leaving or like, hey, like, look at this guy is a professional athlete. If he can't do it, then, you know, what do I have any business
what
being
am I
here?
Doing
I'm 58
here.
Years old. Come on. What am I doing here? I should be back in eating pizza. Come on.
I'm
Italian.
I'm dealing with another kind of sky bridge.
Let's talk about the challenges from this week, Jenny. You mentioned the sky bridge. This seemed ridiculously hard. I do not think I would have been able to do this.
Absolutely not.
Like, don't touch the rope when you walk across two poles across the Grand Canyon.
They were freaking out.
What the hell was this?
The rope. Okay, so for any of you that have made the choice to not watch this and just enjoy us talking about it, I'm sure. It was like a bunch of storage container or shipping containers piled up high, I don't know, a bunch of feet in the air. And then there was like two beams. Yeah. They're like, they look like pipes, honestly. Like they were probably not much thicker than like a plumbing pipe or something, mm-hmm. maybe even thinner. I guess plumbing pipe is not like standard.
No.
But you know what I mean? It's like, it was honestly looked like about the width of like my microphone handle.
Yeah, basically like it two beams. Thin. Yeah, it wasn't a wire, but it was like, it wasn't a flat surface.
It was not a two by four or anything mm-hmm. like that. Like it, your foot was longer in length than the
like thing two was aluminum pipes you had to walk across.
Exactly. And then like, yeah, they're like on a harness or whatever, but so if they fall, like they don't fall to their death, but they have to like go halfway across and then like touch their toes halfway through just to test
fun.
Their balance.
I don't think I could do that on the floor.
I know. I was like, oh my God. Like, no, don't bend your knees. I'm like, oh, I'm out at this point. It's just on the ground. Mm-hmm. And then there's like also like a divider halfway through the I don't know, the pipes or whatever that they have to like walk over.
Walk over that.
And like all of this time, like they're not allowed to, you know, kneel on the beams. They're not allowed to touch the wire beside them. Like they have to, they literally like have their arms out. Mm-hmm. Like they were like, I don't know. It looked biblical to me.
Biblical? What do you mean?
Didn't it look, I've the arm out pose that they had.
You mean like,
I felt like they were telling a story.
Like Jesus on the cross?
Yeah, no, not like that. But like maybe like gather around and I'll tell you a story, mm-hmm. but like a biblical story. That's like, I don't know. I went to Catholic school. I feel like I've seen this picture and like Jesus had his arms out like this.
Okay.
It wasn't on the cross.
Jesus spent a lot of time in the desert also.
Yeah. And I just like pictured like children around and like he's telling a story.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Feel like I've seen this picture. Mm-hmm. That's what it reminded me of, was the arms out, like palms facing up, because it wasn't like arms out, palms down, arms out, palms up. They were very adamant about that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would just freaking like absolutely slam you if you did anything wrong. Like,
don't touch Remy, the wire.
Yeah. Remy's on one side screaming at you.
What are you doing?
Billy's on the other side calling you a Muppet. Like,
Muppet.
It's terrifying mm-hmm. what they're doing. It seemed really hard. And I think it was hard because 5 of 8 of them failed.
Yeah. Scaramucci, they always make Scaramucci go first. Like,
right?
Why?
I was wondering, like, why are they always, like, this poor man,
mm-hmm.
like, it's like they're trying to make an example. You learn so much from watching people do things. And they just said, not for you. You're going to be the example, sir.
And he was like shaking up there and he came down. And they're like, fail! You fail! And he's like, my legs are noodles. What do you want?
Yeah. And then this is when we start here. You know, we get the foreshadowing of Mooch being afraid that his physicality is breaking down.
Worried about my physicality. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Did you hear what they were calling this? It has a technical name. I thought they were saying the tornasium.
Tornasium.
Which is like, to me, it sounded like a portmanteau of like tornado and gymnasium.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't even know if I was hearing this correctly. Like there are quite a few things that are said on this show that I'm like, did I just hear that correctly?
Yeah.
So I don't know if this is a thing, but that's what I wrote down was tornasium.
Tornasium. Yeah, I don't know.
Is that a thing?
I don't know. Not that I've seen. Okay. Kenny Moore might have had a torn ACL.
Yeah, that might have been. Mm-hmm. Tornasium.
I don't know how to
I think it's not a thing. So I don't know. I made this up.
Maybe.
Okay. If anyone knows what they were saying.
Yeah, let us know.
It was said a few times. It sounded like tornasium to me.
They had Kenya Morgo also. They did a spotlight on her. She had a fear of heights, but she did a great effort. She was fine. Again, perfect. And then we had the montage people. Carly Lloyd, she had a fail. Gus did it.
Catastrophic fail. Pathetic.
Mm-hmm. And that was like, the only time you want to hear more when the whole time fall. In the episode.
Yeah.
Do you think she has a watch party? She like tells people to watch the show every week.
I think after the first couple, you got to say, let's cancel that.
Every week at Carly Lloyd's Law Watch Party, her friends come over and always wait for something to happen, but it never does.
They never see her.
Fail!
Yeah, that's the one thing they see is mm-hmm. is her falling and then being called pathetic. Mm-hmm. Wow, that was great showing tonight, yep. Carly.
Gus does it, but then they say he's too cocky.
Yeah, so
Justice
Gus
for
is
Gus.
Like the one.
Yeah.
Gus is trying to have fun, and they hate fun here.
They hate fun.
But he's like one of the only people there that isn't afraid of heights, which it makes sense. He's like a skier, right? Like he's like a mm-hmm. downhill skier. I feel like that's probably not a good profession if you are afraid of heights. So that makes sense. Mm-hmm. He makes it across and then Billy's like, that's effing easy for you, wasn't it? And then Gus goes, it was fun. And then it's like this man baited him to mm-hmm. say like,
entrapment.
Yeah, I had a good time doing it. And then he's like, too cocky. I don't want to hear it. It's like,
that's good. That's good.
It's like, thank you. I've been watching Billy. I'm yeah. studying his mannerisms. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of shouting. But yeah, like you baited this man. You said like, oh, that was effing easy for you, wasn't it? And he's like, yeah, it was fun. And he's like, well, stop trying to make the most of this. Mm-hmm. Suffer.
Mm-hmm. I liked when Dwight Howard went. And then Dwight Howard, he had a fail. And then Billy yeah. was like a baby on a bouncer.
Dangling like a baby on a bouncer. Fail.
Like, what is this? Like,
and this man is like 7 feet tall. Like, of course it's probably so much harder for him to balance, right? Like, is mm-hmm. I don't know, there's gotta be a gravity thing there, right?
You would think so. I think low the taller center of gravity
are,
you want.
Yeah, like yeah. the taller you are, the probably like the harder it is right. to even do this.
Danny Amendola, low center of gravity, right? Then he did it. Good, confident. He got it.
Yeah.
Back on track. Yeah. And then Hannah Brown.
Homeboy's back.
So she did it. But she was getting yelled at. So first of all, if she touched her toes before she was supposed to.
Yeah. I'm telling you, they knew. They had a plan going into this week or this mm-hmm. day. They said, Hannah, it's Hannah's time. Mm-hmm. Like, I just felt like they were like nitpicking. They're like, oh, I didn't say go touch your toes next.
Simon yes. didn't like, say.
Yeah.
And then she did it. She got across. But and then they said, you almost like, fell, so you failed.
Yeah, so I
like, listen, I mean, bro, I got across the sky bridge.
I understood why they said that she failed, because they did say at the beginning, if you fall to your knees or you grab the rope, it's an instant fail. She did stumble and landed on her knees on the little pipe thing, but she did get up and then she finished it.
Yeah.
I understood why it was a fail. I just didn't. But the fact that she got up and did it and finished it, like, I didn't feel like they needed to like.
Not a fail, as far as I'm concerned.
I think I understand why they said that, because they did say at the beginning that that would be a fail, or maybe that was a Frankenbite and they didn't actually tell us that, mm-hmm. and they were just torturing this poor woman. I don't know.
Could have been both.
But yeah, like she gets across and he's like, you know, like, oh, how was that? Oh, you failed. You realize that? And she's like, oh, okay. Like, and then this is what really put a bee in my bonnet, which I don't know if I've ever said that.
Okay.
I think it was Foxy. When she gets back down, he's like, do they judge Grace in Miss America? And she says, yes. And he's like, you're kidding me. I couldn't tell. And it's like, there was no like jovial energy in like the joke. You know what I mean? It's like mm-hmm. when someone says something really mean in like a really mean tone, but like if you called them on it, you'd be like, it was a joke. And it's just like, didn't feel like a joke. Didn't feel like it was supposed to be funny. Ha ha. It just felt like really mean. It's like, she already knows she failed. You can come down. She come down. Oh, do they judge Grace in your little pageants? Your little pageants. Oh, well, you're bad at it. Just torturing this poor woman, doing her damn best.
Mm-hmm. It's poor bachelorette and being mean to her. And she doesn't like being yelled at. That's we're going to get to that.
Deeply related.
So after it's all over, they bring in Hannah Brown for some tactical questioning. Okay.
Yes.
And she doesn't like shouting. It reminds her of her dad. And also, this is similar to like Colton Underwood's story that we heard on Beyond the Edge. Yes. It's hard to be the bachelor and the bachelorette, Jenny. It's a hard adjustment.
Here's the thing.
Everybody's judging you.
So in one sense, I'm like, oh my God, your life is so hard being like on reality television. But also the Bachelor franchise is like literally the dredges of like treatment of reality people. Like it is a known fact that the franchise is terrible, that the people on the show are not like set up very well or prepared or dealt with. Like it's just kind of trash. No offense. I've watched many a season of The Bachelor, but I do think that a lot of people come out of that show in particular and like are not in a good place compared to like other shows that I think like probably have like psychologists on, you know, staff that like actually do stuff with them.
Yeah. I don't know. Like if I was going to like maybe do a hierarchy, I really do feel like of the major franchises, like I do feel like that, maybe The Amazing Race, maybe treats you the best. Tough as Nails treats you the best.
But it's
then
like,
Amazing Race. Then think of the, probably the subject matter. Probably Survivor.
Yeah.
Then the Bachelor and then Big Brother.
I know where we're going. Yeah Big Brother is
and
the
Special
dumpster.
Forces World's Toughest Test.
Yes. Yeah. But I think that this is like a common thing. And I also think the fact that like a lot of people that go on like The Bachelor or The Bachelorette are young. They are like, and this is like the story that Hannah goes through is like, she didn't really know herself. And they get put into this world. And then they come out of it and they are like scrutinized for every single thing they did. And also like hardcore bachelor people, they're kind of a lot. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about my great friend Haley Strong and Amy.
She's not a lot. No.
They're not. They're a lot in the best way. Like, give me more. But like some of the hardcore like Bachelor Nation fans that like are like commenting on like random Facebook posts about like Bachelor stuff.
Yeah.
They're like,
it's too much.
So there's a part of me that is like actually kind of.
But maybe that's what's prepared Hannah mentally for this.
Well, I would say she definitely is. But then like, again, so she's talking about how like, you know, how messed up it went. She like, she went from humble beginnings and then like got off the show and like has like a million followers or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then like, you know, she felt like she didn't really know herself. It's like, like you said, the same thing as like the Colton Underwood story. It's like,
you want to leave here, go back to your million followers, Hannah Brown. You don't want to pay the man.
Pay the man to not yell at you. But like going on TV, like I just don't understand, you know, doing this in the first place and then also doing this on TV when it's like clearly some of your damage is about like being
vulnerable.
Wasn't
that Colton Underwood's journey on Beyond the Edge?
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm damaged from being on television.
So
let
I need
me
to go back on television. Yeah.
Or is that how it is? It's like face your fear.
Oh, maybe like this next challenge that's coming up, which is going to be deal with fear. And what we're going to do is we're going to light you on fire. Okay.
Like why fear not? Is a four letter word. I'll give you another four letter word that starts with F. And it's not the one you think.
Yes.
It's fire.
It's fire.
It's fire.
Fire represents life on Survivor. Here, it represents fear.
Maybe
death. Okay. Can you stay calm while you're on fire?
I mean, the one thing about this challenge is essentially they are lit on fire and they have to stop, drop, and roll. And I don't know a lot about fire, but I do know this. I do know the stop, drop, and roll.
Yeah.
So at least they weren't having to like learn something new. It seems to be like a very intrinsic, like everyone knows what you do if you're on fire. What a terrifying idea. And also it was just very jarring to watch because like they cover them in like this gel, which I guess like repels the fire.
Yeah.
So that their actual skin and like entire clothing doesn't go up in complete flames. So I don't know how they did it. I don't know if they put the gel on like most of their body and then like left the one patch because they only lit them on fire on like their shoulder blade area, like their upper back. And then they had to run into like a sand pit and then like put the fire out themselves.
Yeah.
I don't know how this gel works, but they look scary. Like they're they look wet.
Creepy. Yeah.
But like with like chunky gel on them and then also in flames.
Yep. So
that's it.
They go do it and they go, everybody goes through it. I was worried about Kenya with the bad knee. Cause it's like, oh, she's going to run about like 20 feet to get to the sand pit.
Yeah, that was the point that I thought that maybe she was going to quit because she was very reasonably being like okay, I have to run very fast so that I don't go up in flames. And I don't know if I can do that. I think at one point Remy was saying like sometimes the fire can burn through the gel. So you only have like seconds to do this. Like that's pretty terrifying. It's like, okay, we're lighting you on fire. And it's not going to be very long and you run in, you put it out. But also if you're not fast enough, you will go up in flames. Like it will burn through the gel and you will die.
Yeah. Okay.
This is kind of scary, but like they all did so well.
They did it really well. And then, but then they're like, all right, you have 4.5 minutes to go change. And this was entrapment because I think they made them take their watches off. They got changed. They told them to get dressed really quick. Because a lot of them forgot to put their watch back on.
No, I am fully, again, tinfoil hat on here. I think this was a setup because if you watch the three, or I don't know, I think it was only three of them at the end talking, and they are discussing how they did good. Everyone did pretty great. And then they're like, okay, so like, you know, like it almost like felt like they were like giving each other like a secret signal being like, all right, so get them to do this thing. And it's like, that was when they start yelling at them to like, get ready. Cause it's like, I honestly think that they were annoyed that everyone did so well on the fire and that they didn't like, no one failed and they couldn't yell at them. They're like, oh, we haven't tortured them enough today. So it's like, let's set them up to make a mistake so that we can punish them later. I really feel like that's what happened.
Yep. So they made them get dressed real quick and a bunch of them forgot their watches and Remy's like, okay, now they're gonna have to pay the man.
Yes. He loves to pay the man. Being the man. Did you catch what Rudy said when they were like getting ready? He's like, this isn't a spa. You shouldn't be, and this is what I thought he said, laughing, token, and joking. I don't know what the second word is. It sounded like token. Like, and I was like smoking weed?
You shouldn't be doing that.
No, you shouldn't. Not in
Special Forces.
Don't hotbox the spa. Also, it's not a spa.
Yeah. Did Mel B bring more contraband in?
Yeah. She left some different cigarettes. These were the moist joints.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe like with all the human flesh, you couldn't smell it that day.
Yeah. Well, yeah, everyone was on fire.
They couldn't tell what was going on. It was a good day to try it. Yeah.
They would also extinguish them after, like, this is the part that, like, I shouldn't have laughed, but when they would extinguish them every time, I don't know why, it was so funny.
Can't be too safe, like, Jenny.
The fire was already out.
Once
and then,
you
like,
dive into the fire, they come in with a fire extinguisher also.
They just, like, come up to you and just, like, blow you with the extinguisher. They're all like covered in dirt.
Mm-hmm. Like, got to.
It was really funny. Mm-hmm. That part really tickled me.
Yeah.
Because I knew they were okay at that point.
Yeah. Okay.
The extinguisher just seemed funny.
So then the Mooch quits. And Mooch is like, I know something's going down.
Yeah,
and
something's
then
happening.
Remy comes in. All right, everybody pay the man. Let's go. And so we put them through the obstacle course, which ultimately makes Kenya walk away from this thing. They have to do the obstacle.
Kenya was pushed.
Yeah. Has to do the obstacle course in like 10 minutes. So, I mean, kudos to the rest of them. For getting through it.
Yeah.
I know Piazza's hurting, but, you know, they say, look, selection is a slog, Jenny.
Yeah, it certainly is.
Mm-hmm.
And only the mentally tough will survive.
Mm-hmm. Now, next week, looks like
the recruits will deal with chemical warfare.
Oh, my God. Like, I didn't think it could get worse. Doing? Like, we're gassing these people? Like, what is happening here? This is like the
gassing and gaslighting.
Yeah, seriously. That is literally what happens on this show.
Actually, they gas, they light you, and then they gaslight you.
Light you. Yeah. Three steps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the two things that I think we're getting next week is just a little casual chemical warfare. We see people coughing,
puking,
choking, puking. Great. Love that. And then physical fighting.
Yeah.
It's like the red man,
red man
but like,
back.
It's not the red. It looks like they're fighting each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it appeared to me in the preview. I don't know if anyone got something else from it, but I did not see the red man. It looked like the common man.
The common man is back. All right. So, I mean, that's what's coming up next time on Special Forces. Anything else after 6 hours of Special Forces?
Has it been that long, Rob?
Yep.
I'm so proud of us. That's
premiered the first week of the year.
This could be like, I could have my Mooch moment being like, you know what? I'm 36 and a half years old, Rob. And you know what? I watched more hours of this show than I thought I was ever going to be able to do. I did 6 mm-hmm. hours.
You know,
and
I did
I'm proud
pretty
of
good.
Myself.
I did pretty good.
I did pretty good.
Yeah.
So, no, I'm not going to quit unless you want to quit. Unless you want to be my Danny Amendola.
Yeah. No, we can't. We can't do far.
Yeah.
Too far. Okay.
We gotta see the rest of the course through.
You got to. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll be back next time to talk more about Special Forces. We love to hear from you, the listeners, about what you think. So don't be afraid to drop us a line on social media. Let us know what you think so we can get back to our 100 million followers.
That have changed us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we'd love to know what you are thinking about Special Forces. Jenny, what else is coming up for you? What are you up to these days?
I'm just, getting through winter. Like I said, looking forward to...
Is this the best time of the year to be lit on fire?
I feel like jumping into snow... Like sand is clearly like what you're supposed to jump into to put the fire out. Like, I don't know if jumping into a snowbank would do the same. There's really no season I want to be lit on fire, to be honest. Yeah. But I guess like the cooling sensation of the snow would at least like feel nice.
I think that would be
if
you could jump into snow, I think that'd be a lot more satisfying. Let me see. Should you jump into snow or sand if you're on fire?
Is that a real Google search?
Snow can extinguish small fires.
Because like it's just frozen water, right? But like pouring water on a fire, like that doesn't always put it out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Depends on how much water.
Yeah.
And how big the fire is.
So, good to know.
The point is that like I'm not looking to be on fire at any point in the future whatsoever. Well,
you're only on fire in the metaphorical sense.
Yes, thanks, Rob. Yes. Yeah, but other than this, you know, little podcast endeavor, I am just vibing and looking forward to Survivor cast drop.
Yep.
I feel like the off season is so short.
This is
like,
the short
I felt
one.
Like I blinked and like it's we're like, already
it's
talking.
It's like a Scaramucci. Yeah.
Like I'm still processing the Gabler win. Like why, what are we doing?
Yeah.
This is like, I'm not ready, but it's, you know, I'm one of those people. It's like when everyone else gets excited, like other people's joy brings me joy. Mm-hmm. So seeing all of my friends
they
and everyone
Gabler in the cast to this show. He would have loved it.
He would love it. No, he would own this. Like, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, he's probably looking to do this.
This next minute's for Anthony Scaramucci.
Actually, they would hate that, though. They're like, you're having too much fun.
Stop showboating.
Yeah, no, they actually would not be a fan of that. Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. There you go. That's Special Forces anyway, World's Toughest Test. We'll be talking more about Survivor 44 over on Rob as a Podcast. Plus, I'll be back to talk about Tough as Nails as well. If you love Tough TV, this is the place for you. Thank you so much for joining us this week. We'll be back next time to talk about episode number 7. Take care. Have a good one. Bye.